We are talking about the mind of Christ, a series that God has started me on and teaching me, and I'm excited about this. And so today, I'll start with this question. Have you ever gotten yourself in the middle of an argument or a confrontation and didn't even realize it? Now, I will say, it seems like husbands fall into that category a little bit more often. No offense, guys. We find ourselves in this place. It's like we say something, and then we look, and the wife is having that stare at us that I've already started this battle, and you haven't even stood up yet. Right? Have you ever felt like that, guys? It's like you get the look, and you're like, oh, uh-oh, I have said something now. I have done it now. I don't know what. I don't know what it is, but I have done it, and I'm probably extremely guilty. Pastor Temple, right? You've talked about that. Yeah, so sometimes we get in these, and honestly, I do that with regular folks too, because I used to, I'm getting better. God's continually growing me and teaching me, but I used to have this this comeback, this smart alecky comeback to people's questions or comments, and it was either, number one, to get a laugh, because I want to loosen things up, and I get a laugh from people. However, when you, or it's because maybe, admittedly, maybe I'm making a smart aleck comment because I'm a little bit annoyed or something like that. I'm sorry, but so I'm learning not to do that. So anyway, I turn around and I look at the face, and it's like, oh, I did not get a laugh out of that. So I'm in confrontation, and just now realized it. Hello, you know, and you start, okay. And sometimes we have these default settings, these default responses. And we even hear people that will say, well, that's just how I'm wired. Or that's just who I am. That's just my personality. I've even heard this. Well, that's just the way God made me. But the truth is that we can and should monitor our thoughts and our reactions, change the process of our mind and how we think where it's needed. Because as a new creation, we have the right and the responsibility to change our default settings. Amen? Okay, good. So I'm getting better at, before I speak, thinking about it. Before I react, think about it. As a matter of fact, I have to share this story. The praise and worship team began to laugh at me. And I think Kaylee started this because I get asked a question, any kind of question. If it's the least bit deep whatsoever, I do this. And she says, Dad, Jeff's buffering. So it became a joke, Jeff's buffering, because I buffer. I don't just come back with an answer. I buffer, right? I do it. And then realized I do it actually quite a lot. And so I shared the story with Jill, and she laughed and said, yeah, I know exactly what that looks like. So I've tried to become careful how I respond, how I answer. I've still got a long ways to go. I'm learning it. But here's what's interesting about that. It not only works for our responses and our reactions to people or activities, but it also is going to be very helpful if we begin to monitor and train ourselves to react or to think about other situations in life, maybe sinful situations, temptations, and things like that. Now, I used the word monitor a couple of times in my last message, and I didn't really plan on it, but I began to think about that. I believe God wanted me to talk about that monitoring our thoughts. He said that was actually what we wanted to talk about today. But the process, here's what I believe, church. I'm going to be real honest with you. The process of monitoring your thoughts regularly is life-changing. Write that down. I believe that with my whole heart. We're going to get into some scripture and talk about it even more. Monitoring your thoughts is life-changing. And I'm not just talking about, because usually when we talk about, you know, monitor your thoughts, what are you thinking about? We're, you know, a lot of times it's like sexual sins or sexual temptations. And that's true. It works there. But monitoring your thoughts can also talk about what are we thinking about during the day. Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it worry? Is it bitterness, angry, stress? All these things. We need to monitor what goes on up there. It is life-changing, I believe, and necessary for proper Christian living. Monitor what goes on up there and monitor what goes in. What goes on and what goes in. Now, before we get too deep into this, so we talked the first Sunday about this, the language the Bible uses for heart and the mind and emotions and feelings. And a lot of times, obviously, talking about that, the inner part of the man. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says this: biblically, the mind is simply the inner being or the sum total of all our mental, emotional, and spiritual faculties without drawing fine distinction between them. So in other words, many times biblically, when the mind is mentioned in the Bible or the heart is mentioned in the Bible, we know that it obviously just all comes from the mind. We just kind of separate it mentally in between heart, passion, emotion stuff, and mind stuff. For instance, Matthew 22:37, Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." I don't believe that he was separating different parts of you. I think he was saying with everything that's in you, whatever you want to call it, all of your inner being, love God, every part of it. And the bottom line is this: regardless of how you choose to, or your preference of understanding the biblical language of heart and mind and emotions, one thing that we know for sure as humans, we process all decisions, emotions, responses, desires, reactions through our minds on some level, right? Psalms 119:11 says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you." In other words, I keep your words in the part of my brain, my mind, where I collect and memorize sacred text. It's not talking about the physical heart, obviously. So let's look at this topic with that in mind. Monitor what goes on and monitor what goes in. Jesus says in Luke 6:43-45, "For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. The evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." This is life-changing, not just for you, but for those around you, for your family, for your friends. What you allow to occupy your thoughts will be produced in public. So we monitor what goes on. I think too often we as Christians, and I'm very much included in this, we as Christians allow our thoughts to run around unchecked like an unleashed dog at a fish market. Just imagine it. Your mind ever do that? Just uncheck. Just let it go. Whatever. I'll give you an example. Mark 14:72. In Mark 14, this is where Jesus is in the garden with his disciples. They arrest him. But before that, you know, Peter's like, no, we'll save you, Jesus. I'll be there whenever, you know, you need me. And Jesus said, bro. Did I say it? Bro. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows twice. So, right? Remember that? So, sure enough, by the next morning, Peter does. In Mark 14:72, immediately a rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him, before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he began to weep. He remembered the command immediately after he committed the sin, then felt so bad that he wept. You know, initially we want to say, Peter, how many hours ago was it? And you don't remember that? I mean, Peter, what's the last thing I said? Did your mom ever say that? What's the last thing I told you? But really, if we think about this, how many times have I found myself in those same shoes? As soon as I do something wrong, it's like, oh, man, why did I do that? I didn't plan on doing that. I don't want to sin. Peter didn't want to go out and deny Christ. I don't want to do that. I don't want to respond in anger, but it caught me on an off day, and I'm like, it snapped. I don't want to spread gossip. But I was involved in this conversation. I wanted to feel like a part, and I just said something about somebody that wasn't good. I didn't plan on looking at that pornography, but there's something, an image popped up on my phone, and I got carried away. I don't plan on lying, but I was surprised by the question, and I couldn't tell the... Remember the commercial? I can't believe I ate the whole thing! You remember that? If we would have just stopped to consider how our bodies would feel before eating an entire pumpkin pie, maybe we would have made better decisions. If I would have just stopped and thought about, if I had in my brain and I was processing godly information when I was presented with this argumentative case, I would have responded so much better than what I did. But I snapped. Because that was my default setting. I need to change my default setting. I need to monitor what goes on in my head. If Peter would have just been thinking about that and talking to himself about this, I got to be careful, I got to be careful. But he was in preservation mode, self-preservation mode, and he just answered and felt terrible about it. Peter's denial of Christ did not even register with him until he had already done the deed. You've heard the saying, hindsight is 20/20. Here's my proposition. If we learn to monitor our thoughts with the help of the Holy Spirit, our foresight will begin to be just as good as our hindsight. Wouldn't that be nice, husbands? Getting in those arguments. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:13. An interesting verse when I began to study this. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Prepare your minds for action. If you have a King James Version, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, in this picture, what he's saying is, in those days, men wore tunics, and sometimes two layers of them, but they had this belt that held a sword and maybe some other things, but they would take, if they were in a need to go to war or to run or to walk fast or to move around or whatever, or to fight, they would gird their loins, which means they would hike up their tunic, tuck it in. They had a specific way of tucking it in their girdle, which we would call a belt, so that they could run and move and stuff like that. Gird up the loins of your mind. He's saying, get your mind ready. Prepare it. Don't wait until you get confronted with some type of argumentative case. Don't wait until someone insults you. Keep your mind running on the will of God. Prepare your minds for action. Many times we see this in the Bible, set your minds. Like Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Now, I want to share with you this word, set your mind. That phrase comes from a Greek word, phroneo. And it means, get this, phroneo means to exercise the mind, to entertain a sentiment or opinion, or to direct one's mind to a thing. In other words, when he says set your mind, this is a willed action, a conscious effort to control and manage your own thoughts. You get that? It's a mind that's not running around like an unleashed dog at a fish market, but it's leashed. It's in control. You're thinking about it. It's just not going haywire all the time. You have some control of your thoughts. I know that sounds easy, right? It's not for me. It takes work. It takes practice. It's also used, the word phroneo is also used. Actually, let's go back to the story of Peter. They're in the garden. They're arresting Jesus. Peter says, Jesus, don't worry. I'm going to be with you even unto death. I'm going to be with you, right? And then Jesus says this. He doesn't actually say, bruh, but he does say this. Matthew 16:23. He turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest. Phroneo. You're not exercising your mind. You're not directing your mind. You're just letting it go free-nilly. And look what happened. He got caught denying Christ, felt terrible, and he realized what he had done. It's also the same as Romans 8:5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, they set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Phroneo, exercise your mind. What are you thinking about? What are you allowing yourself to think about? I read this scripture and I almost passed it up, this next scripture. And I felt like God brought me back to this and said, I want you to look at this a little deeper. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says this, Paul writes, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child. I used to think like a child. That's phroneo as well. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. In other words, now that I'm an adult, I speak as an adult. I think as an adult. I control my thoughts, phroneo. I reason like an adult. And I want to take it one step further and say this. Now that I'm a Christian, I speak as Christ. I think as Christ. And I reason like Christ. Now, some people may think, oh, Jeff, you're taking too much leeway into that scripture. Let me point to you what else Paul wrote to the Philippians in 2:5. Philippians 2:5. He says, have this attitude. And that's that Greek word, phroneo. Entertain your thoughts to a certain directive. Direct them. Monitor your thoughts. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Direct your thoughts just like Jesus directed his thoughts. You're going to save yourself a lot of sin and a lot of trouble when you begin to learn to monitor your thoughts all the time. Keep them in line with the will of God. Monitor what goes on. And, just as important, monitor what goes in. Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Some translations will say, watch over your mind. One author, theologian that I read said this, what Solomon said to his son. Son, guard, protect, and be careful of your thought life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Be careful what you allow into your mind, because it will slowly influence you greatly. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. By the way, I have a lot of scripture in these messages and this today. They're on YouVersion, or you can get them in the foyer. And if we run out, let me know and we'll print you up some more. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, be anxious for nothing. What are you supposed to be anxious about? Yeah, okay. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. Oh, I love this verse. I use it a lot. The peace of God that is unimaginable. It's beyond what I can even comprehend. And what does it do? It guards my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. The peace of God guards my mind. I want you to look at this too. In Joshua 7, we're going to go to the Old Testament. I want to tell you a little story about Joshua. They in the Israelites just defeated people at Jericho, right? The walls of Jericho come down. In that battle, in that victory, God said, by the way, there's certain things I don't want you to take from here. Right? And so they there was a ban on some of the things. So the next city they go to was the city of Ai. It's where the Fonzarelli come from. Ai. Thank you. Okay, so there's this small city. There wasn't a lot of people up there. Joshua said, well, let's send some spies up there. So he sent some spies, and they come back and said, man, these guys are going to be easy. We don't even have to send the whole army. Just send a few people up there. We'll defeat them. It'll be easy. They were flying on a high after that Jericho thing. But what happened? They got their tails handed to them because they lost miserably. And people died, and they come back, and they were wailing, and they were sad. And Joshua's like, God, why did you lead us into this place so that we, you know, be handed over to our enemies? And I think God probably wanted to say, are you talking to me? God said this to them. He told Joshua, tell this to him, Joshua 7:13. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. God said, because of the pollution, the disobedience, you cannot stand toe-to-toe with your enemies. They had brought stuff back that they weren't supposed to touch, and they kept them in their homes and in their camp. And God's like, man, I'm not able to help you if you're not wanting me to help you. I believe that God is telling us something similar. You cannot knowingly maintain spiritual pollution in your minds and your thoughts and expect to stand before your enemies successfully. You cannot continually fill your thoughts with fear and anger and worry. Cultivate those anxious thoughts and expect to have a successful prayer life. It sounds harsh, right? You know, the scripture doesn't say prayers of mostly righteous people avail much. Prayers of righteous, period. Just righteous in right standing with God. Here's the scripture. 1 Peter 4:7. The end of all things is near. Okay, some of us like that because the way the culture is going, the way this world is going, that may be very true. So what is he saying here? The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Sound judgment is a Greek word. One more Greek word today, sophroneo. Sometimes it's translated sensibly. Sound judgment, sober-minded. You know what it means? A self-controlled mind. The end of all things is near. Because of that, You are going to have a self-controlled mind. You're going to have to monitor your thoughts. Oh, man. That is good stuff, Lord. Thank you. Amen. For the sake of your prayers, get rid of the spiritual pollution in your mind. Buck up, camper, right? Now, I don't want to suggest that, hey, if you don't think that God's answering your prayers, then, you know, you should feel shame, you should feel guilt, you're living in sin. Sometimes we don't know exactly what God's will is for our life. We think we know what God should be willing for our life, but we don't know for sure. But what I do know is this. If we have clean thoughts, if we have controlled thought process, and we're living as good as we can and as good as we should in the will of God, He's going to work out everything to our good. We might not know what that looks like, but how comforting is it to know that God has your back and that because of that, you can stand toe-to-toe with your enemies. That feels good. Titus 2:11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Good news, right? Some denominations are going to squirm at that one. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, that's that word, sophroneos, with a controlled mind. Live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. I want you to realize that God wants to save you from being enslaved in a prison that Satan wants you comfortable in. Your flawed thought process. That's why the culture today is like, hey, whatever you think. I mean, if you think, have you heard the term, speak your truth? The truth is truth, whether it's yours or mine or what. You may feel a certain way. You may have emotions. That's fine, but that doesn't mean that it's truth. Satan wants you to be comfortable in that prison, in those chains. God wants to free you from that, control those thoughts. So my challenge to you today is this. Monitor what goes on up there, and monitor what goes in. And I know it's easy to say, this is a learning process. We don't change our default settings overnight. This is something we have to work on. Free yourself from spiritual pollution of the mind. I want to ask you to stand with me and read this last scripture. Well, one more scripture after this. Everybody read this. I'm going to read it first, so I want you to know what you're confessing, and then I want you to read this with me. So just me, Psalms 101:3, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Are you ready to say that with me? Confess this with me. Here we go. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Monitor your thoughts. I want to read this last scripture to you, Isaiah 26:3. the steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts you. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this ever, but I want you to notice this today. Have you ever realized in the Bible, when you learn about peace, when there are scriptures of peace, there's usually a language of mind and thought along with it. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace. The peace that passes all understanding will guard your mind. Peace, the Bible links many times with your mind. Control those thoughts. Amen. Let's pray.